This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Arizona-based EMB Associates announced on Thursday that its plans for thousands of homes and hundreds of acres of open space in 1,436 acres of salt flats, one endorsement of four regional big groups, including the San Mateo County Economic Development Association. The plan would bring 12,000 housing units, offices, and retail offices to the shoreline. 15% of the housing would be low income. And amidst charges of conflict of interest, there is strong environmental opposition, including 90 current and former key Bay Area officials who have demanded that the project at the Redwood City, let's call it Salt Ponds, been corrected here by somebody from Save the Bay, rather than Salt Mines, thinking maybe the places we used to go work at. This is, by the way, at the western foot of the Dumbarton Bridge, that they be halted. We remain 2 years away from a decision, but we're going to look at the segment of the ongoing controversy. And joining us here in studio is Stephen Knight, who is political director for Save the Bay. And Save the Bay oversees initiatives focusing on bayfill, pollution, prevention, and securing funding for the restoration of 100,000 acres of healthy bay wetlands. Welcome, Stephen Knight.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And John Bruno is also with us this morning by phone from Redwood City. He is Senior Vice President of DMB Associates and Saltworks General Manager, and we welcome you.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure.
Glad to have you. And I thought maybe we'd get an outline of the plan first from you, John Bruno. This is a 50-50 plan. You want to restore wetlands on about half of the site and have apartments, condos, and parks and sports fields in the remainder?
Well, let me step back, if I may, Michael, and let's do some clarification. So this project is the Redwood City Saltworks process. The property itself has been used for the last phase of industrial salt making for about the past 100 years by our partner, Cargill. We started this process over 4 years ago, where we came into Redwood City and started asking the community about what are their priorities as it relates to the future of Redwood City, and how could this property address what those issues are. And we heard from 10,000 residents over this four-year period, and the 50-50 balance plan is the result of what we heard from the residents of Redwood City. And the highlight of that is that this project, it should be very clarified, it is not the Bay. It's an industrial salt facility. And yet, in fact, this property and the 50-50 balance plan is about two really important components. It's about restoration and sustainability. And I say from restoration is that this plan will create over 400 acres of new bay wetlands at no expense to the taxpayers. We will take millions and millions and millions of shovels filled of dirt out of the bay in creating this new wetlands. On the sustainability standpoint, Redwood City, San Mateo, and in fact Santa Clara, San Mateo, and San Francisco County suffers from a severe jobs housing imbalance. What the residents of Redwood City told us is that we want housing that's affordable for working families. We want housing that's close to the major employers. Redwood City, fortunately enough, is one of the five largest job clusters in all of the Bay Area and suffers from a severe housing shortfall. The Redwood City General Plan states 40,000 people a day commute into Redwood City, and they do that because they can't afford to live here. And the 50-50 balance plan addresses that by, over a 25-year period, provides housing that's affordable for working families and gets people closer to jobs.
I think it's housing, and particularly housing that sort of makes the sprawl not as bad as it is, that has led to the endorsements by the Redwood City Chamber and the Peninsula Coalition. And
Silicon Valley Leadership Group. I think the important component is that, if I may go off topic for a moment, you know, the technology and the knowledge workers of the future don't want to drive thousands and tens of thousands of miles a year commuting to where their jobs are. And yet they drive east till they can qualify for a home and come back here. What we've heard significantly from major employers is the fact that we want to have housing that's affordable for our workers so that we can get that next phase of growth. And the 50-50 balance plan addresses that by creating housing that's affordable for working families. But more importantly, it's about restoration. It's about restoring the bay, which is something that we believe in. It's also about creating recreational opportunities. You know, this project, as has been submitted to the city of Redwood City, will create over 800 acres of wetland restoration, open space, parks, because that's what we heard from the residents of Redwood City.
Well, you say it's about restoration and sustainability, but it's also about water. I mean, isn't there a plan to pipe in about 591 million gallons a year?
I think that really demonstrates the innovation approach that our company takes. When we came out here 4 years ago, the city of Redwood City told us that they didn't have water to support a project. We listened. We then went out and we secured our own water supply. a completely innovative approach about being able to address the needs not only of the project, but we also not only secured enough water for us, but also additional water supplies that that may be made available to the city of Redwood City as they realize their future growth in building out their downtown and building out El Camino and building out a precise plan that they've got envisioned in their new general plan. And so it's water not only for the use of the Saltworks project, but also potentially for the ability to address the needs of existing Redwood City residents.
Stephen Knight, let me go to you here. What we're hearing from John Bruno is it's not about the bay, it's about restoring the bay.
Well, if it wasn't about the bay, Save the Bay wouldn't be sitting here arguing against it. And the fact is, it's fairly straightforward, because urban sprawl is one of the greatest threats to the bay. Save the Bay is strongly opposed to inappropriate shoreline development and bay fill, such as Cargill's plans to put a new city of 30,000 people into these sea-level salt ponds, which could be restored to wetlands instead. Save the Bay was founded 50 years ago to stop projects just like this one. And at that point, urban sprawl, massive bay fill, and diking had already reduced the bay side by the bay's size by fully one-third. So over 2.5 years, almost 2.5 years ago, the San Francisco Chronicle called this site an unacceptable place for housing. And last week, almost 100 elected officials representing millions of Bay Area residents agreed and wrote to the San Francisco Chronicle, to the Redwood City Council, not to Cargill, but asking the Redwood City Council and telling them this is not an infill site. This is not the place for housing and commercial development. We already know everything we need to know, which is that we don't build in the bay anymore. So I would encourage your readers to go to savesfbay.org.
You want to encourage my listeners as well.
Your listeners and your viewers to go to savesfbay.org/Redwood City and join the thousands of people who've signed the petition we have there.
What's wrong with paving salt ponds?
Well, salt ponds are part of the bay, Michael. Mr. Bruno said, quote, "This is not the bay," and his next sentence was talking about restoring part of the site for wetlands. Now, this is a false choice that we have seen developers repeatedly attempt around San Francisco Bay. The San Francisco airport a decade ago tried to expand its runways dramatically, and they said the only way you're ever going to be able to buy the South Bay salt ponds and get those salt ponds restored to the tidal wetlands that the San Francisco Bay needs to be a thriving estuary is if you let us destroy this part of the bay. Well, it's a false choice. You don't need to destroy part of the bay in order to protect another part of it.
Aren't you also saying you shouldn't develop on the shoreline when you can develop high-density housing downtown and along the major thoroughfares?
Well, absolutely, but this is not the shoreline. This is in the bay. These salt ponds are defined by state law as being part of the bay, and Mr. Bruno tells the audience and is running TV ads right now telling people that this is an industrial site and that it's not the bay. But he's, Cargill has filed papers with the Army Corps of Engineers admitting that it's waters of the United States.
John Bruno, let me go back to you.
Yeah, so let's just, if we may be clear, and Save the Bay has done a misrepresentation that this property is not the bay. It has a land use designation from the city of Redwood City. We pay property taxes on this. It's completely closed off by a series of levees and has been used in the industrial salt-making process as the last stage for over 100 years. But the real conversation is that, you know, when we speak about sprawl, you know, sprawl is when you're building communities out in Tracy and Modesto. I mean, part of the conversations we've had with residents of Redwood City is we asked them, how many of your neighbors commute to Modesto or Tracy to be able to go to work? Yet when you work at one of the high technology companies, how many of your employees actually come from one or two counties away? Here's a wonderful example. Two of the community colleges here in San Mateo County, because of the lack of housing that's affordable for their teachers and for their employees, have actually used school resources to build housing developments on their campuses. The system is broke. You know, you spoke, Michael, about infill in downtowns. San Mateo County is projected to grow by another 100,000 people. These are ABAG numbers by the year 2025. You know, this project has the ability to address what those future requirements are. You know, and I guess I probably what I find most disconcerting about this conversation with Save the Bay is that here's an environmental organization that is afraid of an environmental review process. Our application has been accepted by the City of Redwood City City Council. They have accepted their staff recommendations to commence environmental impact report. And the environmental impact report is dictated by the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA. You know, it is the way we Californians evaluate projects to understand what those benefits, impacts, and what the potential mitigations of those are. And we're celebrating, you know, the 40th anniversary of CEQA. And what we're doing right now is what responsible governments do, as is the case of Redwood City, is to accept an application, go through the environmental review of this project, and at that point in time, make the determinations about what the project itself is. But I find it just curious that, you know, here's an environmental organization that really just disrespectful to the process.
Well, I want to get a response on that from Stephen Knight, but first I want to give out the phone number to those of you listening who might want to join us in this conversation. And in fact, if you do, you can call now to our toll-free number if you have questions or comments. It's available to you, 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls. Again, toll-free, 866-733-6786, or you can send us an email. Forum@kqed.org is the email address. You can also post comments or questions online by visiting kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment. And Stephen Knight, are you trying to block or impede the review process? Is Save the Bay trying to do that?
This is a very simple, Michael. I work for Save the Bay, and our job is to advocate to protect, celebrate, and restore San Francisco Bay. Mr. Bruno's job is to advocate for his development, and he's doing so. And we're the Redwood City Council, they are currently encouraging a developer to think maybe it's okay to pave the bay. And so we are joined with 100 elected officials from around the Bay Area just last week. Many more have signed on just since Thursday afternoon to say we already know what we need to know. No housing has ever been approved on a salt pond in the modern environmental era since Save the Bay was founded 50 years ago and the Bay Conservation and Development Commission was founded and the Environmental Protection Agency was created. What Mr. Bruno and DMB and Cargill are proposing has never been approved, housing on a salt pond. And he referenced the city's zoning on this property. What the general plan says about Cargill's property in Redwood City is that most of the city's undeveloped area cannot be developed because it is San Francisco Bay, its tributaries, salt ponds, and wetlands, and it should be assumed that they will remain as open space forever.
We should mention the plan has yet to be submitted officially.
The plan was submitted in May.
It was submitted officially?
It was officially submitted, and the Redwood City Council voted unanimously to accept the application and start the environmental review process. You know, I find it, again, I'll repeat myself, curious that, you know, here you have an environmental organization that doesn't want to go through an EIR process. You know, it's the history of Save the Bay here in Redwood City is their ability to be disrespectful to process. 2 years ago, they were the group behind an initiative called Measure W in Redwood City that would have usurped the authority of the elected and appointed officials in Redwood City. It would have changed the charter of the city of Redwood City just to stop this project. That was before even an application was even submitted. In one of the highest turnout elections in the history of the city, Redwood City residents said no. They said Measure W was wrong, and they defeated it by a margin of 26 percentage points. And so, once again, we now have Save the Bay back in Redwood City being disrespectful to a process which is dictated by California law. So I ask the question, you know, two things. Stephen, this is not the Bay, and you know it. And secondly, what are you afraid of? Allow the environmental impact review process to go forward. That's how we evaluate the merits of a project.
Stephen Knight. I mean, you've got your endorsements. You mentioned close to 100 officials. They've got their endorsements from groups like Silicon Valley Leadership Group. What would the harm be in doing an environmental study would be my question. But also, you have to, I suppose, weigh this against the fact that there's all this sprawl. I mean, this would be a green kind of transit issue, would it not? You would cut down on that sprawl of people having to commute so far to go to Silicon Valley. So why not do a full environmental impact study is what I'm asking you.
Nobody has proposed a plan even remotely as the size of this project to put housing on salt ponds in the modern environmental era. It's never been done, it's never been proposed, and it's definitely never been permitted by any of the multiple agencies, Army Corps, EPA, BCDC, Water Board, that have to regulate it because It is the Bay. I mean, you can look up California Government Code Section 66610, which defines salt ponds as part of San Francisco Bay.
Let me bring our callers into this discussion.
Michael, if I may just respond to that. So before the Redwood City Council even made a determination about commencing with an EAR, what Mr. Knight fails to mention is that they put the application through an excruciating review where they brought on board an independent group of consultants to evaluate the regulatory strategies as embedded in our application, the transportation strategies embedded in the application, and our water strategies. And this was a six-month process, unprecedented in the history of applications. And these consultants came back. They came back to the city on February 1st and made a pronouncement that after talking to all of the agencies that Mr. Knight spoke to, after evaluating our water strategy, after evaluating our transportation strategy, they said that there are no insurmountable obstacles to proceeding forward with this particular project. And in fact, if I may quote one thing to you, their transportation consultant said that this project may be a once-in-a-generation opportunity for the city of Redwood City to utilize significant private investment to match public funding dollars that could be available to the city to improve its transportation infrastructure. It's done independently by a consultant. And so what Mr. Knight fails to also mention is the fact that this property is not Bay.
Let me get Stephen Knight to respond, because we've got lots of callers, and I want to bring them.
I've answered that question several times about that this is the Bay, and the fact is that the study presented to the city failed to point out the basic fact that no housing has been ever
unprecedented, approved. But it did agree that this was a project that was an opportunity, 6 month of investigation, and they seemed to favor it, that 6 month investigation, right?
They seem to,
they seem to give the green light and say this is a real opportunity.
I would call it a green light only because they covered up major hurdles. And if you read that report, instead of just looking at the executive summary, which is, it's a lot of reading, but it's there. The hurdles are evident in there if you just read the report.
What would be the major hurdle as you see it?
No housing has been approved on a salt pond in 50 years.
Okay, let me bring our callers in, John Brito. Hold on. We're going to bring our callers. No. I've got to stop. We've got a limited time here. I know you guys could go on for 20 hours here.
Let's take some questions.
Please allow our listeners to be involved in this. And Arthur, you're first. Good morning.
Good morning. Very interesting subject. Is this area proposed for development an area that in the BCDC 16-inch sea level rise by mid-century, is it in that area, and is it surrounded by that area? And was this area, before it was diked, part of the Bay?
Stephen Knight.
Yes, of course, on both fronts. If you go to savesfbay.org/redwoodcity and click on our Flickr page, you can see photos of the site in 1943. Yes, it would be underwater. San Mateo County faces the largest impacts from sea level rise of any county in this entire state of California. And we think it's folly to put new high-value infrastructure out in a sea-level salt pond in the face of rising seas.
John Bruno.
So, Michael, the Bay has been rising for the last 200 years. It's been documented. What BCDC is looking to do is addressing shoreline development in the event that by the year 2100 there's a 55-inch sea level rise. Whether we're here or not, the Redwood City and surrounding areas are going to have an issue as it relates to sea level rise. What our application does is we provide a mechanism where we actually create a levee system fully engineered to all specifications dictated by the Corps and by EPA, and will provide a levee system that we think not only protects the site, but could be part of a larger system that rings the Bay. And this is the new paradigm, where you actually create private investment to cover a public need as it relates to sea level rise. And in fact, you know, if you look at the way the Bay Area, I mean, we're a coastal community. You know, 80% of all of the various populations of the Bay Area are within a half to 1 mile of the Bay Area. This sea level rise is an issue that doesn't affect our property, but also all the properties around the Bay, and we think we bring forward a brand new paradigm and a new solution by which you have private development pay for a public good, which is the creation of levees that will withstand sea level rise. And that's in our application. In that Tier 1 study, that was one of the questions that was evaluated and approved.
Let me bring in more callers here, and we go to Palo Alto. Jeff, join us. Good morning.
Yeah, hey, thank you. Hey, question for Save the Bay. I I used to live in Redwood City. I know the area. I mean, it seems to me to be 1,400 acres of salt-encrusted lunar landscape that's really not accessible to any of the general public. And here you have a willing partner in DMB to do, I don't know, 600-700 some odd acres of restoration on their nickel. So I'm wondering where Save the Bay proposes, absent DMB, to fund restoration of 700, 800, 900, heck, 1,400 acres of that, wasteland.
Let me dovetail your question, Jeff, with another from a listener named CD, and these will be for you, Stephen Knight. They kind of go together. Chris says, aren't you denying the other benefits for one cause? DMB is willing to restore a lot of the land to wetlands. Seems stupid to not let the project at least be reviewed. There it is again.
So this is the false choice that we have to destroy part of the bay to save another part. The reason why DMB is able to restore any of the property to wetlands is because that's what it used to be in the past. If their property was on El Camino, they wouldn't be able to restore it to wetlands because El Camino wasn't wetlands in the past. So developers are always telling us that, you know, we have to destroy part of the bay to save another part. And the reality is that what Redwood City needs to do is tell this developer that we don't build in the bay anymore, and then we will have a willing seller again. And every shoreline property of this sort that has become available has been purchased by the public and is currently being restored.
You know, Michael, let me just help me.
John Bruno.
Mr. Knight, help me connect the dots. I mean, you know, it is evident from those questions that Save the Bay does not have a plan, other than, you know, you just say no. No way, no how, never, no compromise. And in fact, you know, it's been documented in that Tier 1 report that was done by an outside independent set of consultants. This property is not the bay. It's an industrial salt process. And I am still befuddled about why Save the Bay is against a process which is dictated by California law, which is the environmental review process. You know, maybe it goes back to Measure W, where the fact is you tried to circumvent the process and you lost. So now you come back with this other way, this other approach about you just want to kind of stop the environmental review process, which is dictated by California law, which is by how major projects are evaluated. But, you know, this story, again, goes back to it's about restoration and sustainability. It's about creating a new paradigm of public-private partnership where private dollars are invested for the public good. And it's about addressing, you know, I think we have a better solution to address the jobs, housing imbalance in Redwood City. We've got a better solution for global warming. I mean, this project at its full build-out, 25 years from now, will document and eliminate tens of millions of miles a year of commute. And think about all of the carbon that's eliminated. It's millions and millions of tons of carbon. So if you really want to talk about, you know, sea level rise and its inherent cause, which is global warming, getting people to live closer to where they work is the best environmental solution. And that's why this project is about restoration and sustainability.
Have you done a study on mitigation of sea level rise, the impact on sea level rise?
Yes, we've actually done, as part of our engineering plans, we've addressed about, you know, how do we make certain that we create a levee system that protects not only the site from sea level rise, but also could be part of a larger system that protects all of Redwood City.
Of course, when you said before that Save the Bay doesn't have a plan, Stephen Knight, as I understand it, there may not be a specific plan, but you've been talking about building high-density housing downtown and actually creating it along major thoroughfares.
The plan is clear. It's based in historical precedents like the Bear Island site that's just adjacent to Cargill's property, which was proposed for development in the 1980s and unanimously rejected by the Redwood City voters. And once the developer got the message that the site, which was just like this one, a former salt pond.
That's false. This is not.
Could you please not interrupt me, sir?
Let him just finish his thought, if you would, John Bruno. Yeah.
Then we had a willing seller, and the property was purchased by the Peninsula Open Space Trust, and now it's part of the Don Edwards Wildlife Refuge. And this site that Cargill wants to turn into a new city of 30,000 people is already approved to be within, it's already within the approved expansion boundary of the Don Edwards Wildlife Refuge, which surrounds it.
John Bruno.
I go back to the point that we brought to Mr. Knight. When I say State of the Day doesn't have the plan, you know, there are over 37,000 acres of former salt marshes around the bay that are primed for restoration at a price tag of $1.4 billion. You know, given the current state of the economy, there is no money for restoration. You know, this project provides benefits by not only providing over 400 acres of new wetlands as part of the plan, paid for by private investment, But we also talk about the benefits that this project creates jobs. It also significantly enhances the tax rolls for both the city of Redwood City as well as for San Mateo County because of the fact that of the small footprint of development that's on this particular site. But it needs to be made very clear, you know, that comparing this site to Bear Island is false. You know, this is an industrial salt facility. In fact, Michael, the way to think of it, it's a factory without a roof. Uses solar and wind energy for the crystallization of industrial salts that are harvested.
We're still a couple of years away from a decision here, we should mention, too. At least.
That is correct.
Let me go to another caller here, and let's go to Menlo Park. Sarah, join us. Good morning.
Yes. Hi. The fellow from Cargill is a real good spinmeister, but I think he's saying some things that aren't really true. Just because it's being used for salt production now doesn't mean it wasn't wetlands. It used to be the bay, and 100 years ago, and it's been a long time, but there are salt ponds on the other side of the Marsh Park, the Marsh Road Park, that are being restored, and they were used for salt production, too, and they're not anymore, and they're starting to come back as wetlands. And I think that wanting to be sustainable and build housing doesn't mean you should build it there.
And there's a site exactly like this, exactly like the...
Wait, well, I'm not done.
I'm sorry.
The thing is, you could build this, you could build your housing in downtown Redwood City or other places, and you're representing a huge out-of-state developer. The people ought to know that. You're from, what, Arizona or something like that, and you're a huge developer. And it's easy to get... to elect people to the city council who are going to agree with you. That happens all the time. And that doesn't mean anything about what the people want. People around the Bay Area voted a long time ago, and the counties agreed not to do any more development on the Baylands. And you'll actually have to change a law.
Stephen Knight, you were going to say something.
Yes, the Napa plant site, which is identical to the Cargill site in Redwood City, up off the Napa River in the North Bay, is currently being restored to tidal wetlands. It's the same final step in the salt-making production that Cargill and DB make such a big deal of, as if it distinguishes the salt ponds from other evaporator ponds. And it doesn't. It's a restorable site.
We've got seconds left here. Last word for you, John Bruno.
So, Michael, first off, thank you for hosting us today. You know, I think that the thing to take from this... this property is not the Bay. We have a severe jobs housing imbalance. We need to be able to restore wetlands. We need to be able to do it not at the expense of taxpayers. And most importantly, we should allow the process to go forward in an environmental impact review process. And why Save the Bay is afraid of an EIR, you know, we'll find out. But I appreciate the time today.
John Bruno, Senior Vice President, DMB Associates, and Saltworks General Manager, and Stephen Knight, Political Director of Save the Bay. Thank you both for being with us for this segment of Forum. And thank you, our listeners. We would not be here without you. We're thankful for your listenership. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. An hour is repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. I want to thank Senior Editor Dan Zoll and our producers, Kevin Guillory, Judy Campbell, and Tina Lauerberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.